Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Tuesday, July 26, 2016. With me today, John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I am very good. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. And Brian Chaffin, it's great to have you as well.
Thank you kindly.
Yeah. And friendly reminder, listeners, since this is Tuesday the 26th, that means it is Apple's quarterly earnings report day. So you need to be sure to check in with us this afternoon so that you can see what all the news is that Apple announces. And this sentence is totally getting away from me, so I'll try again. Tune in this afternoon so that you can stay on top of the news and other announcements that Apple has from the earnings report. We've got your back.
Unless today is Wednesday for you or Thursday.
In which case, then check yesterday and the day before's episodes and also Apple Context Machine for in-depth coverage of the earnings report.
There we go. Now we're good to go. Cooking with gas.
Boy, howdy. Yeah. Hey, as long as I have both of you here, I guess we should talk about some stuff that's actually happening as opposed to what's about to happen. John, you kind of have this thing going on where you'd really like to have an iPhone that has a shatterproof display. What's up with that?
What started all this was particle debris, where I collect interesting articles and talk about them. And this was on Particle Debris page 2 on Friday. Will Gomez at Mac360 talked at length about the aspects of a shatterproof iPhone and how it would be desirable in some respects. But on the other hand, he kind of jumped the track at the end when he suggested that maybe a shatterproof iPhone isn't such a good idea because then people wouldn't have to replace their broken phones and it'd be more money for Apple. We know that Apple doesn't do that. We know Apple tries to build the very best product available, and they're constantly improving the quality of the phone, the workmanship, the materials. And Corning is constantly improving its Gorilla Glass. They're up to, I think, version 4 now. Mm-hmm. And there is, I saw an article where version 5 is imminent. I don't know if it'll be in the iPhone 7, but certainly in the iPhone 8 next year, which has an 80% chance of not shattering in a drop from 5 feet. Now, this is good, because there is no such thing as absolute shatterproofness. There is only a probability that it will not shatter from a given height. So I respect the technical specification of this. But what it got me thinking about was, can you really build a completely shatterproof display given its mechanical and optical requirements? Is it possible? Should it be done? If there were such a thing as a shatterproof display, would it meet all the other requirements for transparency and the ability to apply coatings and so on? So there's lots of engineering trade-offs, and so it raises the question, if Apple could build a shatterproof display, almost, there's no such thing as an absolute, would they even dare to advertise it as such? Because, you know, the watch companies got in trouble a long time ago declaring their watches were waterproof, and then it turned out, well, it's waterproof to a certain depth, you know. So now you see all sorts of caveats. And people love to file class action lawsuits against Apple when their so-called shatterproof iPhone shatters, with some minuscule probability, perhaps, but still. So there was a discussion on the top of page 2 of Particle Debris about some of those issues. And then the other issue is, if Apple could build an iPhone that was really rugged and almost scratch-proof and almost shatterproof, what would that do to the thriving case industry, where people almost automatically feel like they need a case to protect their phone because it is fragile? Will we ever get to the point where the phone is so strong and so robust that we don't need a case and the full glory of the design comes through and we don't have to wrap protective cases around it to obscure its beauty? So I didn't try to answer a lot of questions definitively, but I raised a lot of questions.
All right, so my first question is, have you ever dropped your iPhone and broken the screen?
No.
Brian?
iPad, yes. iPhone, no.
Okay. And I have never broken a screen on an iPhone or an iPad. Now, I'm not saying that as...
Times.
Yeah, I've dropped my phone several times.
Sure. Yeah. On asphalt, I had a thin, clear plastic case, dropped my iPhone on the asphalt from about 3 feet, and it was unharmed. Scratched the heck out of the case, though.
Now, I didn't ask to passively suggest that that iPhone screens don't break. I was just curious if any of us had ever actually experienced that. And I do find it interesting that between the three of us, with as many iOS devices as we have owned, that we have only a single iPad with a broken screen out of all of us.
I have an original iPad mini, and it was up maybe 2 or 3 centimeters on a little platform that displays it like a book, and it did a face plant. And it just rotated forward, and it fell maybe, 10 centimeters total. And the screen just, at the top of the screen cracked. I wrote about that, and I went out and put a Z.
That's right. So you do have a device that ended up with a broken screen. All right, so I'm the only one out of all of us that has never had a broken screen. And hopefully we'll be able to keep it that way. All right, Brian, what do you think about all this?
Who cares about the case industry? I mean, don't get me wrong. There are some great companies out there that make great cases, but keeping them in business should not be anyone's goal, right? If we can, if Apple can make a better product, or any other company can make a better product, if putting companies that previously addressed some issue that had been improved out of business was the cost of that, that's actually what we call progress. And again, it's not because I don't have, I wish there's some great case companies out there with great people who are making great products and they're really smart and everything, but I don't care about artificially keeping them in business at all.
And I don't think it would be an issue. We would still have a case market and a skin market, because a lot of people use cases and the adhesive skins as a way to personalize their iPhone.
It's true.
So what happened is that Apple would protect themselves and they'd say, well, it's got a probability of shattering, so you should beware and treat it with care, but it's pretty rugged. And then people would go out and buy cases anyway just because of that minuscule possibility.
It's possible. We've seen that we talked a little bit about the issue of whether or not Apple would advertise it when it came to the waterproof idea. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing for Apple to make an iPhone waterproof or water resistant, either or. It's another thing for Apple to advertise it.
We saw that with the Apple Watch, didn't we, Brian?
Well, Apple does say it's water resistant.
Mm-hmm.
But first, they didn't make any claims at all. They were very quiet about it. And then people started taking them into swimming pools and reporting, hey, it worked fine. I think so later, Apple eventually kind of came out with that, but not initially.
Yeah, like I guess that's, I don't quite remember, but I assume that you're correct. Making a device shatterproof or waterproof is good for Apple's warranty work and good for Apple's repair costs. Advertising it is a different thing. Advertising could, in fact, increase sales. Certainly, Samsung, or is it HTC? Who's doing the? I'm pouring champagne on my Android crappy device.
Samsung advertising waterproof.
I thought it was Samsung. Yeah. Huh. So if Samsung is trying to get sales by advertising the waterproofness of its device, but it sort of has to do that sort of thing to differentiate itself. It's possible that, for Apple, it would be a case of judging whether or not the increased sales from saying that iPhone is waterproof was more or less beneficial than the added liability cost of being sued for, fringe cases. So edge cases. And there you go.
Does the iPhone float if you drop it off the raft in the swimming pool, does it float or does it sink to the bottom?
It sinks.
Does it?
Yeah. So good thing it at least the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus are waterproof enough that they won't die when your iPhone sinks. So
nice.
Yeah, so that's a nice thing. All right, well, I'm all up for Apple making the screen more durable, so less prone to scratching and less prone to cracking or shattering. And I'm not worried about the case market, and I don't say that in a cold, callous way. The case market will be fine. They'll take care of themselves. Yeah. Hey, and we have another topic that I want to hit before we wrap up today. This is a report that says that we've all had it wrong about the naming for the next iPhone, meaning the one that's coming most likely in September. It will not be called the iPhone 7. It's going to be called the iPhone 6 SE and the iPhone 6 Plus SE or 6 SE Plus. I'm not sure which.
Can I pretend I'm Brian for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
Balderdash.
Well played, sir. Brian, what do you think?
Balderdash. That's just ridiculous. That's just ridiculous. It's already an iPhone 6 SE.
Well, actually, it's the iPhone SE.
It doesn't. That's true. It's the iPhone SE. Oh.
But Brian, what you did was beautifully show the problem that I see with Apple using that as the name, because it's confusing and it doesn't make sense. So we have
like SX would be a, for instance, SX XL. Or SL, SQ, S2, like sticking an E on the end doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
No, it doesn't. And it's confusing because we have an iPhone SE and we have the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus. And adding...
What's the source of this rumor?
Supply chain. So that tells us what we need to know right there.
No, I'm usually encouraging people to stop being so you know dismissive of supply chain rumors. Usually, mm-hmm. At the very least, understand that there's usually something behind it. And we got, goodness knows that we are at the stage in Apple's product life cycle where most of the rumors coming out of the supply chain actually end up being correct. But I can't buy this one.
I can't either.
I have some thoughts on this iPhone 7 thing.
Okay.
I separate in my mind Apple's need to deal with the rate of change and pace of technology, and that there are certain things that won't come until next year, maybe cordless charging and an OLED display. But I separate in my mind the technical requirement to stretch out the product cycle to 3 years, at least for now, with the marketing aspects of the product's name. I mean, the cases in marketing are legendary where companies use the name of the product to promote a mental attitude and psychology towards the product. And I don't see any problem with Apple, you know, making minor improvements, the improvements we've been talking about all along, and still call it an iPhone 7 to create that sense of momentum and moving forward, which iPhone 6 SE also doesn't do. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, it's okay to, you know, jump to iPhone 7 for marketing purposes and customer psychology, even if it's not a brand new phone. That's okay. I can see Apple doing that.
Sure. And there's nothing that says Apple has to use a specific naming scheme for any product that they have. I mean, they can do as they please.
Well, there's no technical plateaus or hurdles. Like it says, well, it has to have an OLED display before we can jump to the next number. Balderdash.
You guys are liking that word today.
Yeah, I got that trademark, John. Be careful there. I okayed it the first time, but, you know, let's just not get crazy here.
Take the licensing fee out of my paycheck.
Oh, I'm keeping a tally here for you, Brian. No problem.
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay. So when I made my comment about this report coming from the supply chain telling me what I need to know, Brian, I do agree that a lot of the information we're getting from the supply chain regarding Apple products is far more accurate than it used to be.
Good. But I mean, and I want to emphasize that there was a time like 6 or 7 years ago where the stuff that DigiTimes, for instance, was reporting was just always, you know, was like, you know, 20% of it was right. But those days are actually long gone. Most DigiTime articles about Apple stuff have been very accurate for years now. And a lot of the stuff coming up from analysts who are plugged into the supply chain has been very accurate too for the last many years. Mm-hmm. And I want to emphasize that. But go ahead.
All right. So my feeling is, just based on what I've seen over the past few years, is that supply chain is more accurate telling us about features and components, but not so much about what's going to happen from the marketing side, which to me includes a product name. So, you know, had we gotten more information from the supply chain about, you know, like maybe here's one of the components Apple will be using in the solid state button that's going to replace the mechanical button for the home switch, then I'd be more inclined to accept that. But telling us what a product name will be, that's the part where it just doesn't hold up for me.
Well, but it's the supply chain that's going to actually see the cases that are being made. You know, whatever Apple is shipping in September is being made now.
Yes.
And that's where a lot of this stuff
didn't
comes
Apple
from.
Stop printing the model number on the back of the case?
What they're doing, it says iPhone, and then for the S series, when that comes out, there's an S below iPhone. I just double-checked. I took the case off my iPhone just to be sure.
Oh, that was clever.
Yeah, that was clever.
Fact-checking and stuff.
I know. I'm out of control.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
So if there were an iPhone S6 SE, maybe there would be a photo of a pre-production case that had an SE inside the box.
But and we're not seeing that.
We're not seeing
that.
We
haven't seen that anywhere yet. So, yeah. All right, well, I'm with you guys. Balderdash, I say, oh, man, I have to put down a realty ka-ching tick for me, too. All right. Well, I'm glad we've sorted that out. And now I'll be able to sleep tonight knowing that it's really not going to be the iPhone 6 SE.
And rest you will on your Casper mattress.
Yep, just like I'd love to do. Yep. While I lay there in my Mack Weldon underpants. Was that too much information?
You're just rubbing it in on the whole Casper thing right now.
I feel really bad for you, Brian, because I know that you don't have access to your bed at the moment.
I don't have access to my bed at the moment. It's super annoying.
Yeah, that really sucks. Yeah. Hey, we're out of time, so we need to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome.
And listeners, thank you for being here. Don't forget to tune in this afternoon and follow along with our coverage of Apple's third quarter earnings report. I'm sure we'll have all kinds of interesting things to share with you. And then we'll see everyone again tomorrow.